All right, so listeners sent in a ton of stuff on the Bear Lake Monster, which of course means we have to do a deep dive. We're talking about a mystery that's been around for over a century, a mystery that's got some surprisingly deep roots.
Yeah.
And, well, it all goes back to this creature some say lives in the depths of Bear Lake, you know, that massive lake out there,
yeah,
right on the border of Utah and Idaho.
And you know what gets me? It's not just some fleeting thing, you know, like some of those stories that pop up and then vanish.
Mm.
This one's got serious staying power. I mean, generations of folks, believers, skeptics, everyone seems drawn to it. It really makes you think about why we're so fascinated by the unknown.
Right. You've got this huge, deep lake way up in the mountains. It's like the perfect setting for a good monster story. And the descriptions we're dealing with here, massive serpent-like, super fast. It's no wonder imaginations ran a little wild. But where did it all begin?
Well, our deep dive starts way back in 1868. With a settler named Joseph C. Rich. This guy, he published some pretty wild stories in the Deseret Evening News, which, fun fact, later became the LDS Church News.
Wait, hold up. So we're talking about this local legend,
mm-hmm,
and it's playing out in a newspaper connected to the LDS Church. Okay, now that's adding a whole other layer to this. What kind of stuff was this Rich character putting out there?
Oh, he went all in, talking about multiple sightings of these things, called them monsters, actually. And get this, he claimed that the Native American tribes who lived in the area, they already had legends about some scary lake creature, said they wouldn't even camp near the water or bathe in it even.
So he's tying his stories into existing folklore, playing on those deep-seated fears. Clever. But this was 1868, if I'm remembering right. Weren't things kind of tense between the LDS Church and the U.S. government around then?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where things take a really interesting turn. Because, remember, this is all happening during Brigham Young's leadership. And some historians suggest that the whole monster thing became a symbol, maybe unintentionally, of the anxieties and power struggles of that time.
You're saying some people saw the monster as a symbol of Brigham Young's hold on the region? That's kind of wild.
It's not that Young cooked up the story himself, but more like the whole social and political climate kind of threw gasoline on the fire. And the funny thing is, even back then, not everyone was buying it. Remember those skeptical takes you mentioned from the source material?
Yeah.
Well, for example, the Salt Lake Tribune. You know, the paper that often butted heads with the LDS Church. They were openly skeptical.
They called BS on the Bear Lake Monster. What was their take on it all?
They basically said these sightings were either made up or way exaggerated, maybe even a distraction from, you know, more important political stuff, a convenient distraction, basically.
Wow. Okay, so we've got this super intriguing mystery, hints of political gamesmanship, and the LDS Church right in the middle of it. This is already shaping up to be one heck of a deep dive.
And here's where it gets even crazier. Because it wasn't just everyday folks getting caught up in the Bear Lake Monster hype. Are you ready for this? Even Brigham Young himself got involved.
Whoa, really? The head of the LDS Church took a personal interest in a lake monster. You don't hear that every day.
I know, right? And it wasn't just a passing fancy for him either. Brigham Young really wanted to get to the bottom of it. Separate fact from fiction. Remember those sources you sent about him collecting firsthand accounts?
Yeah. Like that interview with Brigham Young Jr. in the New York Times, the one where he talks about his dad gathering sworn statements, affidavits from people who claim to have seen the monster. Talk about a hands-on approach.
Exactly. And it gets even better. Remember that letter Brigham Young sent to David P. Kimball back in 1871? He mentioned sending this massive rope, like seriously huge, to try and catch the creature.
Wow. So Brigham Young wasn't content to just sit back and watch from the sidelines. Sounds like he was ready to wrangle himself a monster. What do you think that says about him?
Well, it definitely shows a leader who wasn't afraid to engage with the unknown, even if it meant, you know, dabbling in something that some folks might consider folklore. Plus, it really highlights how culturally significant this legend had become, if it could capture the attention of someone like Brigham Young. But hold on. Because it gets even more interesting. Because it wasn't just Brigham Young trying to get to the bottom of this. Remember that group of high-ranking church leaders who also claimed to have seen the monster?
You're talking about that sighting in 1881, right? The one with John Taylor and George Q. Cannon. What exactly did they see out there on the lake?
So the Deseret Evening News account of the whole thing, it's actually surprisingly measured, especially considering who the witnesses were. They described seeing this large, light-colored shape, about 30 feet of it visible, just kind of undulating through the water.
Okay, yeah, that definitely sounds a lot like the descriptions we've been hearing about the Bear Lake Monster. Did they come right out and say it was the monster, though?
That's the interesting thing. They stopped short of a full-blown confirmation. They said they only supposed it might be the monster.
Interesting. You think that's just them being careful with their words, or do you think maybe they were having second thoughts about what they saw out there?
It's really hard to say for sure, but with all the hype and speculation surrounding the monster at the time, you can't really blame them for, you know, choosing their words carefully.
Good point. Yeah. Especially with, like, the whole country watching their every move. Wait a second. We can't forget about Joseph C. Rich, though. The guy who basically kicked off this whole frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he fit into all of this?
Well, this is where things take a wild turn. Get this. Years after those first articles of his, the ones that launched the whole Bear Lake monster legend, Joseph C. Rich made a shocking confession.
Don't tell me. He admitted he made the whole thing up.
Yep. He came clean, publicly even, said that his stories were, and I quote, a wonderful first-class lie.
Whoa. Seriously. He just admitted it.
Yeah.
Just like that, after all that time.
He did. And not quietly either. He made a public statement about it. Must have been quite the scandal, after all. This wasn't just some random tall tale. This was a story that had captured the imaginations of people all over and even, you know, roped in Brigham Young himself. You'd think that would be the end of it, right?
Yeah, you'd think people would be ready to just throw the whole monster out with the bathwater after something like that.
And you'd think so, wouldn't you? But that's not quite how it went down.
So wait, you're saying even after the guy who made up the Bear Lake monster fesses up,
what?
The legend just keeps going. People just shrugged off his confession.
Pretty wild, right? Here's the thing. The 20th century rolls around, and we've got a whole new wave of sightings. 1907, 1937, even as late as 1946. It's like people were determined to keep this thing alive, even without Joseph C. Rich spinning his yarn.
That's like the legend took on a life of its own. What were these later sightings like? Any different after Rich came clean?
Well, we get some interesting twists. Like in 1907, there's a report of the Bear Lake monster attacking a whole camp, even killed a horse. And then in 1946, a Boy Scout leader claimed he saw it. So yeah, that fear factor definitely stuck around.
From tall tales to camp attacks, it just wouldn't die.
Yeah.
But okay, how does a creature, real or, you know, imagined, go from scary stories to, get this, a tourist attraction? Because you're telling me they have Bear Lake monster boat tours, right?
Right. Quite the transformation. But somewhere along the line, the Bear Lake monster became part of the local culture. They even held contests to give it a name. Apparently, Isabella won. And yeah, you've got the monster boat tours, parade floats, the whole nine yards. It seems like humor won out over fear, at least for some folks.
That's amazing. It really shows you the power of a good story. Even one that started as, let's face it, a hoax, it can last for generations. Even become a point of local pride.
So after looking at all of this, where do you land on the Bear Lake monster? Is it all just imagination, fueled by some really good storytelling? Or could there be something more to this whole slippery legend? The million-dollar question, right? For me, what's fascinating is how this whole thing, even with its, shall we say, creative beginnings, reveals something about us, about our need to believe in something bigger than ourselves, something unknown. Maybe it's the thrill of the mystery. Maybe it's a way to connect with the history of a place.
And maybe, just maybe, it keeps us looking over our shoulders, right? Just in case.
You know, I started this deep dive thinking we'd uncover some hard truth, maybe even solve the mystery once and for all. But instead, we found something way more interesting. The power of a story. What do you think is lurking beneath the surface of Bear Lake? Is it a monster, a myth, or maybe a little bit of both? We'd love to hear what you think. Until next time, happy diving.